Most of the time when you hear God's Word, you really enjoy it. But sometimes it just makes good sense all the way around. This is Tony Broom Ministries, welcoming you for the following message entitled, Show Me Something Better. I was thinking about a song that was out recently called Higher Than I've Ever Been. And the idea of the song was that this man had gotten saved who used to get high a lot. Now that he's gotten right with God, he's been higher now than he's ever been. B.J. Thomas sung about that. You've got me walking on the cloud. You've got me a reason to be proud. Never been any higher than I am. Never come down from your love. He thought he was talking about his wife, and perhaps he was, but it certainly applies to Christ. He is the highest high. There is no higher than He. He is greater than the greatest. He is higher than the highest, and He is mightier than the mightiest. He is the champion of love. We're talking about show me something better. Whenever you taste of a powerhouse candy bar, you'll say, show me something better. Nobody can show you anything better because there's not one. If you get your hands around a baby Ruth, now you're talking about Ruth, if it happened to be your wife named Ruth. I'm talking about the candy bar baby Ruth. If you get your hand around one of them that we used to get our hands around, you had something to hold to. Some would fill your hands up, some would fill your mouth up. Now, with our teeth, we're not able to do much with a baby Ruth. Baby Ruth can whoop us good now, but I'll tell you what, it used to be some kind of good eating. Show me something better. Well, it leads us to ask, which is better, the old way or the new way? It may be according to what you're talking about. What if you're talking about travel? The new way of travel is certainly better than the old way. Although when the streetcar first came out, the old codger said, I'd just take my horse over this thing any old day. But it'd be kind of hard to drive a horse 10 miles to get to church now. So I think the travel would be better than we would say. The new way of travel is certainly better than the old. What about textiles? Textiles, the old way, is better than the new. At least when we had textiles, we were coming up on the mill here, we had a job. We made a lot of our own fabric. We made a lot of our own clothing, textiles, industry in America. A lot of down-to-earth folks came up on the mill hill. They'd borrowed sugar and flour from each other. And they knew each other and sat on the front porch. One of the things a preacher has to do, you got the front porch, you got the house, and you got the back door. You've got to get on the front porch and visit a while, but you can't stay there too long. You got to get in the living room where they can really hear the word. But you don't want to stay all day. Kind of ease out the back door every once in a while, too. So you have God's people in mind and their time. Somebody said we don't put a time limit on God. No, we don't put a time limit on God, but you got to put a time limit on some folks. There's this preacher who lived in town here, and if you ever saw him, the mistake that you made was to go up to the post office. He ever propped up, that was it. You were there all day. So even though we don't put a time limit on God, you've got to put a time limit on folks. Because if you don't, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. But textiles. Textiles is better the old way than it is the new way. Why? Because the new way, you don't have any. We ship all of our jobs out to South America and China, and all we get in for boot is an immigration problem and all of our jobs shipped away, plus a virus. Lord help us all. What about technology? Technology, we have things now that we never thought that we would have had before. Been a long time since that old RCA or Philco tube radio. Preacher said, if you want to feel the power of God, put your hand on the radio. Dr. Dehan said, if you want to feel the power of God, put your hand in the radio. That's where you can feel the power in. Not surface power of God all the time, but you feel something. You want to feel something? Put your hand in them radios that we used to have. They'd give you the shock of your life. Technology, now we can do things that you never could have done before. Technology has a way of reaching the world for Jesus Christ, not only with satellite and radio and television, but you've got podcasting, you've got netcasting, you've got webcasting, and all this that's going on. The printed page is still a relevant part of reaching out with the scriptures and the Word of God. You have the printed page, you have the internet, you have radio, you have television, you have all these apps that you can download. You have the Bible that's on the apps now. The technology is exploding and it's reaching the world for Jesus Christ. You could say, well, imagine what the Apostle Paul would have done with this technology. He would have done the same thing that we're doing now. And Paul is not here living now, but he's preaching through us. Paul and Peter and James and John. They're witnessing through us as we carry the Word of God to the nations of the world. What about in the church? While the new way of doing things in many cases is not only faster, but more effective, when it comes to loving God, faith, and the supernatural, without doubt, the New Age religion doesn't hold a candle to the old-time way. It doesn't hold a candle to the old-time way. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, God tells His people, He commands them, He adjures them, "Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." He tells the people in this verse to make up your own mind, if you will. In other words, read the newspaper. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand. He said, you make the decision for yourself. You stand in the way and see. That is, take stock of the situation yourself. You don't have to believe it just because I say so. You don't have to believe it just because the church says so. You say so yourself. Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? You make up your mind which is really working and which is not working. They say if the old time way is not working, change it. I say if it's working, don't change it. I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. The asking for the old paths doesn't mean that we're going back to the old kerosene lamps. It's talking about you have a desire in your heart and in your soul to have something more than the modern day religion. You have something in your heart that cries out like David. It says, I cry out for the living God. Ask for the old paths. That's what it's talking about. That desire that you have in your heart. That desire that you have in your soul. And sometimes we don't talk about it a lot, but every born-again person has that desire in their soul. They have that hunger and their thirst, but yet they're not hungry and thirsty because their hunger and thirst is being filled and satisfied in Jesus Christ. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. And He gives us a promise. If you do, you will find rest for your souls. I cannot guarantee you a promise if you follow the new fangle-jangle way of doing things in the new age religion. I cannot give you much of a promise. I cannot give you much of a guarantee. But I can guarantee you and I can promise you on the authority of God's Word that if you walk in the way that He's talking about here, you will find rest for your soul. Amen. But they said, we will not walk therein. Our somewhat more modern way of that would be, we don't want that old Mill Hill mentality. We want a church that's high class. We want a church that's got stained glass windows. We want a church with rich folks in it, where doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs can come. Well, everybody ought to be able to come to church. rich man, the poor man. Anybody from the Pope to the pauper should be welcome in the kingdom of God if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ask for the old way. Not going up and turning a light on top of the house. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the old way, the way that worked. And we think that we have the old way. What about Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and even Moses and Abraham, those who really knew God, John the Baptist and Jesus, really the foundation of where it came from? We are built on that foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone.
Yes.
The reason that God finds so much pleasure in raising him up a people from among the Gentiles is because we, in essence, said to God, show me something better than the man-made dead religion of Israel. Israel had offerings, they had sacrifices, they had ceremonial cleansings, they had washings, they had all these things that they did. But the one thing they didn't have, Hebrews talks about it, they didn't have faith mixed with the Word of God, they didn't have a heart that ran after God. Paul said they had a zeal, but it was not according to true knowledge, it was not according to the righteousness of God. They went about to establish their own righteousness, and in so doing, they forfeited the righteousness of God through Christ. And we said to God, we want more than that. We want more than just a church time on Sunday, a church time on Wednesday. We want more than just an hour that says you got to do a certain thing. We want more than a man-made religion. We want more than just joining a church. Joining a church is good if you got a good church to join, but really joining the church is a man-made religion. The Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're saved, you're born again, you should join a good Bible-believing church. But all these organizations, these ecumenical movements, and all these things that are man-made religion. Jesus talks about it in Mark chapter 7. The tradition of the elders, he called it. All these things they do. And there are many other such things, he said, that you do. But you have made the Word of God of none effect. And what we said, in essence, to God was, we want more than that. We want more than just a man-made, deadhead religion. At which point, he, as it were, replied, I will. I will show you something better. I will give you something more. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and rise again from the dead to save us all. Show me something better. Many times, we have that clause put before people today. Show me something better. So far, to bump the King's English, they ain't showed me much. We have the better way than what they had under the old covenant. There's nothing wrong with the law. It pointed men to Christ. But the law was not designed to justify or save anyone. The law said that we are sinners and God is holy. And as long as you were living under the old covenant, you were okay. As long as you were doing. But the moment you quit doing, you quit living as far as the law was concerned. This better way is so clearly seen in one place in the book of Hebrews, which we will glean a few verses if God permits. Chapter 7, verse 19. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw nigh unto God. The law, as holy and just as it was, and Paul said so in Romans chapter 7, but it offered very little hope, because you had hope as long as you were doing what it said. But the minute you stumped your toe and quit doing what it said, you lost hope as far as the law was concerned. The law offered very little hope. But the bringing in of a better hope. The law did not make us perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope made us complete. That's how and why we can draw near to God. The law kept us away from God. It was designed to bring us as a schoolmaster to Christ, who fulfilled all the law. We couldn't do it. The apostles couldn't do it. They said, why do we put a yoke on the neck of these Gentile believing disciples that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? They couldn't do it. Paul, he did a good job of it, but he couldn't perfectly do it either. No one could except Christ. And Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to those who believe, Romans 4:10. He is a fulfillment of the law. I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. Christ is a fulfillment of the law. That's why we can draw near to God, because we have a better hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. Verse 22 of Hebrews 7. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Don't get mad at the bald-headed preacher this morning. But the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. The old covenant was necessary. You had to have the old to get to the new. But the old covenant said, here I am. Live by me, do by me, complete by me. And we said, well, we'll try, but we can't. And we as Gentile people, we didn't have a chance anyway. The old says, here I am. Show me something better. God said, I will. I'll send my son Jesus Christ. He will fulfill the law. And now there's a better testament. Amen. Says so right here. By so much was he made a surety of a better testament. What is this testament? It's not only the New Testament like we have in our Bible, but it's the new covenant of blood, grace, mercy, truth, and love. Amen. Praise his Holy Ghost name. This new covenant, that's why you can be born again. You couldn't be born again, as it were, under the old covenant. Now, Abraham was a saved man in the Old Testament. David was a saved man in the Old Testament. But Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's not good enough just to be a teacher or a ruler. You've got to be born again. You must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Jesus, by so much, is made of a surety the better covenant. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Show me something better. Here it is right here. Jesus is the mediator. There is one God and one man, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the mediator, the high priest that brings us to God. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And he brings us to God, and he brings God to us. He brings God and man together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They couldn't do it. It's like putting opposite polarization of magnets together. You can't hardly do it. But this righteousness and peace can get together and kiss each other and embrace each other, because God brings it all together in Christ. He is the mediator of a more excellent ministry. It's better, it's more excellent than the ministry under the old covenant. By how much more it was established upon a better covenant. It is a better covenant that was established upon better promises. What kind of promises did the old covenant have? The man that doeth those things shall live by them. That's about the only promise you could get. Now, Abraham had promises, and there are promises in God's Word, the promises in the Old Testament. But as far as the old covenant, the promise that you had, as long as you're doing it, you're all right. The moment you stump your toe, you're not all right anymore. But what about the promises of this new covenant? The new covenant, the better covenant, that was established upon better promises. Here's one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo-hoo. That's a better promise. And I guarantee you that there's witnesses here, there's witnesses abroad, there's witnesses all over the world that can tell me that, yes, I know that's true, because when I called upon His name, He saved me right then and there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. He has been passed from death unto life. There are several promises right there. The new covenant is established on better promises, is loaded with the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. It's loaded with the promises of God. Chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. It's talking about these ceremonial things and these sacrifices they did. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. There had to be a better sacrifice, brothers and sisters, than a lamb or a goat or a sheep or a meal and meat offering. There had to be something better than that. And I wanted you to know that there is. Yes. He's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes. Jesus Christ, the better sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice for our sins. He is the one who is the better sacrifice. Hallelujah. The things in the heavens had to be with more, with better sacrifices than these. He is that sacrifice. He is a sacrifice that will not just forgive you of one sin, but will take all your sin away. He will even take the guilt and the stain of sin off of your life and your soul and your conscience forever. This is the supreme sacrifice. These preachers that encourage these people, and I'm not dogging preachers, I'm one of them. I don't call many names, but I will call this one. John Hagee said, if you're in the boat, don't rock it. Do, you'll fall out and everybody else will get drowned. So I'm not dogging preachers, but these preachers that always have these people come to the altar for the same thing every week, same thing every week. Where's your deliverance? Jesus Christ has set you free. You don't have to keep coming back for that thing anymore. You might have to come for something else. You might have to come for someone else. Quit making that trip around the racetrack for the same thing every week. Jesus Christ has set you free. Now, I didn't charge you no extra for that, but this is worth preaching. The truth, it is the truth. You don't have to keep coming from the altar for the same thing. They keep preaching about this in the past, and the generational curse in the past. There is no generational curse. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is no curse. He became your curse for you. You're not under that curse anymore. There's no born-again person under a curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He is our sacrifice. Hebrews 10:34. Ye had compassion of me in my bonds. That's a good reason to think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews too, by the way. You had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They didn't mind losing some things that they had. It's a different mentality than Christians have sometimes today. My stuff. My house, my car, my woman, my dog, my stuff. The early church, maybe that's where the difference in the power of the Holy Ghost is. They didn't think it was their stuff. They thought it was God's stuff. And because it was God's stuff, God could do anything He wanted to with it. If you want me to keep it, I'll keep it. If you want me to sell it and make distribution, I'll do that too. And they were not attached so hard to their stuff like we are. You have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. The things that we have in heaven is so much better than the temporal things that we have now. The things that we see are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We have a substance in heaven. What kind of substance do you have in heaven? Well, you got walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. You've got mansions, Jesus, loved ones. What else could you want? Throughout the ages of eternity, that better substance. Chapter 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We have a golden city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. We don't desire to stay in this world. Nobody wants to die today, and they do whatever they can medically to keep you here, but actually a born-again person, it's all right. If I go, it's like the song said, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do thy will.
Amen.
Yes.
We have a better country. We're just pilgrims passing through this world. God has prepared for us a better city. The city that I'm going through, they don't charge you taxes. It's an abomination and a disgrace to God that they would charge you city taxes and county taxes to boot to live in a place that's already yours. Or as they say on the Mill Hill, Yorn. I believe that's spelled something like Y-O-U-R-N, Yorn. It's like Hearn and Hisn, you know. God has prepared for us a better city. We desire a better country. Thank God for the United States of America, but the shape she's in today, there's a better country. Yes. Chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Let's have a Tony talk for a minute about that verse. The Tony talk is this. Women receive their dead raised to life again. That's called restoration. When Jesus went about Galilee and Judea and all the places he went, he preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. When he raised the dead, they were not resurrected. They were restored to life. Once you're resurrected, you're glorified. You don't go back in that grave no more. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, now he was raised. He was not comatose. He was not just unconscious. He was dead. Jesus raised him from the dead. But he was restored to life. It's like the women here, they received their dead raised again. They were restored to life. But others did not accept deliverance. They said, I am not going to bow to the Church of England. I am not going to bow to communism. I'm not going to bow to socialism. I'm not going to bow to the religious crowd of this world who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They're religious, but they're on their way to hell. I'm not going to bow to that kind of crowd. They were tortured. They were sawn asunder, it said. They did not accept deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Yeah, it'd be cool, you know, cool like this. It'd be cool to raise from the dead, to be raised like Lazarus. But I may not be raised like Lazarus. But I'm going to be raised like Tony one of these days when Jesus comes back and he gets us and he takes us to himself. And we will not just be restored to life, we will be raised again incorruptible. Verses 39 and 40, these all having obtained a good report through faith, they did what they were supposed to do when they lived, when they were supposed to do what they were supposed to do, that's what they did. And they received a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. They did not receive the fulfillment of the promise like we have. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It took them and it takes us. It took us and it takes them. And we all go together. And when we all get together, and the song said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, the bride of Christ, the church, the tribulation saints, the millennial people who come to Christ, all of us getting together. They without us were not made perfect, but neither are we perfect without them. It takes all of us. God has provided some better thing for us. Thank God that we are living in the time that we're living. You may not want to have gone through what you have gone through in the last few months, in the last year. But you have a whole lot better than many people who were martyred for Christ and many people who didn't have a dime to get around in a doodle bug. And they didn't have anything to feed that horse. And they didn't have any gasoline to put in the tank. Problem is now, it's either too high or you can't find it. You got to have petrol to go. That's the way things are built now. Could buy your electric car, but then they're going to charge you to plug up. And they're going to be a line at the thing where you have to stay back there and going to run out of juice. Going to run out of juice before you can get it loose. So they got you coming one way or the other. But this thing, what I'm talking about, as the song said, it keeps on getting better, keeps on getting better. Whoa. We have Callie to sing it for us. She can put a hurting on that song. I don't know if that song was made for her or she was made for it. One way or the other. Doctrinally, you think God doesn't get better. How can God get better? But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about He's getting better to me. He gets better to me, or as Brother Denny Ray would say, I know you're not going to be offended at him now. Brother Denny Ray would say, it just keeps on getting gooder and gooder. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel, you know, Adam and Eve, they raised Cain, then they wasn't Abel. So, you got that, did you? You'll get it sometime. The blood of sprinkling that Abel, he offered an offering to God, and he obtained witness, his gifts testifying that he was righteous. But this, what I'm talking about, is better than that of Abel. Abel spoke of the blood of the old covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. His blood does not sprinkle just to bring an offering to God. His blood sprinkles to cleanse the world from sin. He speaks of the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Jesus, that blood that was shed. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the power of Pentecost. Thank God for the blood of the gospel. A bloodless gospel is a powerless gospel. A powerless gospel is a saveless gospel. There's no gospel at all. It may be a religious thing. You might can come and eat an ice cream on Sunday night, but you won't be saved, you won't be sanctified, you won't be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The disciplines, they call them manuals now, too high class to call it discipline. Discipline means you got to be a disciple, you got to walk straight and narrow way. Disciplines used to say that we don't participate in the oyster stew and the ice creams and the worldly amusements and all this stuff that's going on now. I like some good ice cream. Ain't nothing wrong with ice cream. Whereas thing about ice cream it's talking about, it's not talking about it's wrong to eat ice cream. But it's wrong to put the ice cream before the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. That's what he's talking about. I'm about to make a song of it. Time to get ready, time to get right. All of my Holy Ghost friends are here on Sunday night. You might could make a song out of it. Some people know who the image came from, so they wouldn't like it anyway. But maybe they don't like much of anything anyway. Who knows? I'm glad I know the God of the old time way. Amen. Thank you, our Father, for another opportunity to be in church. We thank you, Lord, that we can have church like church ought to be. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that Even though many have tried to show us a better way, have fallen so short, because we have the truth, and the truth has set us free. Thank God, when you have the best, you don't have to settle for the rest. We thank you, Lord, for the new and the living way. I pray that many would know that way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the old-time preaching from God's Word to reach a new generation for Jesus Christ. The message has been titled, Show Me Something Better. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.